Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Well, welcome, friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Jennifer Belber, and tonight's show is Guiding Yourself into Being. I'm very happy to have you all join me here on this humid Thursday night in New York City. So welcome, welcome, welcome once again. Now I'm going to introduce myself. I am a life coach, and I'm a coach dedicated to helping folks who want to make a physical transformation in their lives. So as many of my longtime listeners know, I'm a weight loss surgery veteran, and I've got a special place in my heart for folks who choose bariatric surgery as a tool to help themselves transform. My web address is jenniferbelber.com, and I can be reached by email at jennifer@jenniferbelber.com. My guest tonight will be a personal trainer, Mike Hurley. Mike actually was just in touch with me. He is running a bit late. His last session ran long, usually happens. He is scurrying to a phone right now to join us, and call in and answer all your questions about weightlifting and weight training. So I will tell you that the number to join the conversation tonight is 646. The number to join the conversation tonight is 646-716-9397. Mike, is that you on the line? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I present Michael Hurley. I told everyone, Mike, that you were running late and you sent me a message. You were scurrying to get to the phone. So
yes, let's talk. I do apologize.
Oh, no, rubbish. You never need to apologize to me. In the interest of full disclosure, friends, I am going to say your guest call in line is 646-716-9397, just in case we got cut off. And how did Mr. Hurley come to be a guest on the show? Well, he is none other than my very own trainer. And although I might have been the biggest pain in his rump, I was probably one of his favorite clients. Mike is the brains and the muscle behind Hurley Development, which you can reach on the web at www.hurleytough.com. That is H-U-R-L-E-Y tough, T-O-U-G-H.com. Mike has been a trainer for 21 years. He is certified. I'm going to hopefully say all his letters right because they are very important, and he's going to explain why in a moment. He is certified by the ACSM, NSPA, EFTI, ISMA, AAAI, AFPA. He has trained TV celebrities, some pro athletes. I've met one or two. You don't know how short you are as a 5'2" woman until you stand next to a 6'5" NFL linebacker, let me just tell you. A couple of NCAA champions, professional fighters, and you know what his greatest joy is? Training folks like me, like you, just men and women, who are in it. We're all in, we're playing full out, and we're going to make a great big change in our lives. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that introduction. That was very nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome. We're very excited to have you on the show tonight. Because weight training, and I'm going to say this again in the interest of full disclosure, for all the folks who are listening, because I do tell folks I am not only a weight loss and physical transformation coach, but I've been there and done that myself. So I have indeed walked a mile in your shoes. As I shared with our listening audience a few weeks back now, I at one point removed 135 excess pounds from my life, a few back having a little person, and now I'm getting off that last of the mommy weight. And I will say this, if you're afraid to lift weight, you're a woman. You think you're going to bulk up. You think you're going to look like Schwarzenegger. First of all, you're not. And second of all, it is absolutely what was key in my transformation. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead and start by the subject that's near and dear to my heart. Tell us a little how weight training actually helps a person lose weight.
Well, you know, I think, you know, you had, we talked prior to coming on air, and we had a bunch of different questions, and I don't know if you want to just hedge out each question and knock down each one by one, and we can do that. I think
if you want, sure.
I think we're gonna just this way we can open it up for, you know, questions and answers as well as we go. You know, one of the big questions are, you know, there's a bunch of big questions. You know, when somebody first starts, you know, a fitness program, you know, they don't know how to get started or where to get started, and some things are, you know, often, you know, some people when they begin weight training, they might not really see that, you know, drop in weight as they want, and sometimes they might even see an increase up and down. Well, your body goes through a lot of different, you know, changes, and, you know, you might lose a couple pounds of fat, you know, gain a couple pounds of muscle along the way, which is common. That often happens.
That definitely happened to me. And I can tell folks from personal experience, there were months, remember, when my scale would not drop, but my pant size did.
And that's the key issue. Like, I'll be honest with you, I really, very rarely, and you know this, you know, Jen, we never really did it, I don't really take body weight. I don't really believe in that. What's the difference between a pound of muscle and a pound of fat? It's both a pound. You know, they're both a pound. It's the mass that it encompasses. You know, it's a pound of muscle might be as big as your, you know, let's say, for example, the width of a pen, and where, you know, fat might be as wide as your open palm of your hand. So there's a big difference in, you know, what type of space that pound takes up. So that's why I never get into really getting somebody on a scale. I like to take measurements because, you know, each, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, you should be reassessing yourself that your workout program is fitting your needs and your wants. And that's one of the key issues that people fall off of. The, you know, I have people that constantly get on the scale. My scale's not changing. My scale, well, throw it out. Throw it out. You don't need a scale. You know, like, you want to lose weight, you want to, you know, I don't know what size you are. You're a size 12. Well, go buy a size 10 jeans. And, you know, go keep working out so you can fit into those jeans. You know, that's a good measurement of a good goal maybe you want to hit for. There's so many different ways to approach your fitness goals or your purpose. And I don't even say goals anymore. I call it a purpose. Like, what is your real purpose when you a fitness program? You know, you got to decide that for yourself because you got to make yourself a commitment. It's got to be a lifelong process.
Now, that's something you've just touched on, Ben. I just want to repeat and reiterate because that was what changed it for me. That is what changed the dial. It is a lifelong commitment. And it's a commitment you make to yourself. And I am going to say for everybody out there, I was the big person going into the gym once a week and screaming at Mike on more than one occasion, thank you, not my finest hour, that my scale wasn't moving. And despite working out, you know, doing everything I needed to do, keeping my diet clean and tight, scale wasn't moving. But at the end of the day, you do start to see where all of a sudden your booty shrinks, your arms shrink, your clothes are too big. And that first 6 to 8 weeks, I am going to say, especially for the ladies out there or anybody who's trying to lose weight during this process, take off some excess fat, make peace with the fact that fat tissue and muscle tissue are two different tissues. They take up, sit, and look very different on your body. And you're going to build muscle, so the number, as Mike so eloquently said, it's all set because a pound is a pound is a pound. But it is a commitment. And I will now ask you my big question. And we're going to jump around a little bit, but it's okay. I got the checklist of topics. What is the best advice you can give someone who's coming back from a hiatus where they were training and now they weren't? Someone, say, who was in my position, had a child, had a C-section, you know, couldn't train for 5 months. Someone who's had a surgery, an injury. What's the best advice you would give them moving forward with their comeback?
Well, you gotta make a commitment to a certain time of the day. Now, everybody gets busy in their lifestyle. You know, what people say, you live life on life's terms, right? However, mm-hmm. you have to make a commitment that you're gonna do some sort of activity each and every day. And I think the biggest problem that a lot of people face is they come up with any little excuse of why they can't make it to the gym or why they can't do any activity. And it really doesn't take much. So if you had a hiatus, the biggest thing is, remember, any habit is really formed with what? 28 days, right? You form a habit within 28 days. So anybody that's mm-hmm. coming in new to the program, I'm not saying go out and work the first day you walk into the gym, do every exercise. No. Do little bits and pieces for 28 days straight. Just do maybe 15 minutes the first day. Next day, come in and do 20 minutes. Next day, come in and do 30. Along those lines, each day, do a little bit more. Chart your progression. That is the biggest thing, is people don't chart what they do. They just go ahead and do the same things over and over and expect a different result. With that, the definition of insanity, right? We've been hearing it for years. Like, why are you doing the same thing day in and day out and expecting a different result? I'll give you a very good example. I had a couple people purchase this thing called a Fitbit. You wear it on your watch, wear it on your wrist. It's like a watch. It calculates all your activity.
Oh, that is the new rage.
New rage. Now, so the person comes to me and says, hey, Mike, I do 10,000 steps a day. I do 10,000, you know, walk 10,000 steps a day. But that's great. Your body is used to doing that. I'm glad you see that. Because if you want a progression, because he says, well, don't you think that's great? Well, mm-hmm. no, it's not great. That's what you normally do. You have to do things that you normally don't do to get results that you want. So if you just add an extra 5 minutes a day to your normal routine, that will eventually progress you. So somebody who just is coming back and they know it's a hard road ahead of them. It's just a matter of you making a commitment for 28 days to create a habit, to know that you're going to fixate on a certain level of fitness that you want to achieve. Now, after those 20 days, you've got the habit formed. Then from there, you can break it down maybe 3 to 4 days a week. You're going to do some activity. You know, let's face it. I mean, these are all cliches, I say, but, you know, again, a body in motion stays in motion. If you want a certain result, you got to do that thing. The same energy you put towards your fitness, you know, you got to put towards other aspects of your life. So I think that's where, you know, that person, and I sit down and talk to people, like, you need to be honest with yourself and make yourself a commitment if you want to change your lifestyle, if you want to make your lifestyle better.
I'm going to share a story from when you and I first started training. I don't even know, maybe you don't even remember telling me this. And this was back in 2005. I sat down and Mike sits down and he does this really lengthy, long intake. And we're talking about everything, my diet, my average kind of movement, this and that. And he gave me that same pep talk about how you have to do a little more every day. And he said, okay, let's look at your diet. And the first thing, do you remember this? I was having a sesame seed bagel with butter for breakfast every day. And you said to me, change one thing in your diet for 28 days straight, break that habit and get another one. And the first thing that's going to go was the buttered bagel. And I looked at you like, but that's not going to really change. It's not that many calories. You just looked and you said, trust me, stick with me for 28 days, get rid of the buttered bagel. And that was, you know what, some of the hardest 28 days of my life, because I realized I wasn't really hungry. I wasn't craving a buttered bagel. It wasn't about the bagel. It was about the walk from the office to the bagel shop with my two girlfriends, chatting, getting a cup of coffee. And I had to literally retrain myself and only take $1.25 out of the office with me so all I could pay for was the coffee the first week. But I am going to tell you, folks, it really, truly, legitimately made a big difference. It made a very big difference in my life. So I know, Mike, you put out there, right, straight out there, that it sounds cliche, but it works. And that's the thing I really want to emphasize for folks, because when you have that much weight to lose, when you have 135 pounds, 120, 75, 80, and you've yo-yoed back and forth, you kind of go into it, and let's talk a little bit about this. I know we're veering off topic just for a minute. With the mindset of almost you limit yourself, and your beliefs limit you because you sort of think to yourself, I've been here, I've done this, I started strong, and look where it got me. So what can you say to people who are coming back and maybe have some fear, maybe have some trepidation in their minds? What advice do you give those people?
I mean, it's so simple. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand. You got to kind of do the things you fear the most, and death of fear is certain. So you just got to go out there and do it. You know, like, what are you putting, what's the biggest fear of stepping into the gym? Why? Are you worried about what people are going to say? I hope not. Not at this juncture of your life. You know, you got to get over those little things, those little humps. And if that's the case, there's plenty of activities you can do outside of a gym. You know, a lot of the big gyms, you know, when I used to work for them, they hated me because I would tell, even on more gyms like an Equinox and a New York Sports Clubs and all these big gyms, I'd say, you don't need all this fancy stuff. You can have a great exercise program outside of the gym if you make that little commitment. That's it in a nutshell. Anybody that's going to come back from being away, you just got to move and get it started. It's so simple. But I don't know why most people, again, make a lot of different excuses. So, you know, I think it's important also, not just because I'm a trainer, but that you do have a trainer or somebody that you're going to report to, because that's another thing that gets somebody, you know, out and in the gym or in an exercise program, because they got to be accountable for not only themselves, but to someone else. So I think that's really a big key issue. You know, hey, if you miss your appointment, you know what? You're still going to get charged for that session. So chances are you probably will not miss that appointment, you know, because you're going to put a value on that time. And that is what I really see works for a lot of people is setting the appointment.
Absolutely.
Making a commitment. And that's huge. And, you know, you touched base a little bit at the beginning about all the certifications that I had. And
yes,
people probably want to say, well, what's the best certification to have? And I hate to say this. I mean, there's a lot of great ones out there. You know, American College of Sports Medicine, they really agree. But you can have somebody that just walked away from one of the best certifications in the world, but they don't have any practical knowledge. So my advice to anybody that's looking for a trainer as well is that, you know, you need to go into a club and watch what they're doing. You kind of just got to watch what they're doing. And you've got to put them through the interview. See what they're doing. Are they doing the same exact exercise with every one of their clients? Maybe that's not what you want. You don't want anybody cooking a cookie-cutter routine. You got to really see how many people they are training and how many people they've trained in the past. I mean, those are the key elements. Because you can have, again, the best certification, but it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I could go to a doctor that has a Harvard, you know, doctorate, and it's great, and oh, he knows all this stuff, and he's so intelligent, but he's never applied his knowledge. He is worthless. That education is worthless because he doesn't have the practical knowledge of working with each individual, because everybody's different. Somebody might have an injury. Somebody might be sick that day. You got to know the people you work with. I've been blessed to work with over 3,000 people in my career, so that is a blessing.
Wow.
That I, you know, that's why, you know, those certifications by my name are they look great, but again, they mean nothing. It means what practical knowledge that individual has, who they've worked with, how often, their rapport. I mean, these are some, their success level, you know, actions kind of speak louder than words, but you just got to kind of go into the clubs and watch what people do and you know, you can go from there. I mean, most people have a pretty good common sense approach and say, okay, this person looks like they kind of know what they're doing, and you give it a shot. But you just got to make that appointment, and you got to get yourself motivated. Because it's almost like a slice of pizza, right?
Excellent point.
It's like a slice of pizza. Even bad pizza, it's okay. Fills me up. It's all right. You keep looking for that best pizzeria around. So if you have a trainer, they're okay, but at least they're making you an appointment, as long as they're not hurting you in any way, shape, or form, right? You want to make sure they're doing everything, you know, ethically correct. But at least you got yourself motivated to do something. So just get out there and do it.
Absolutely. And another really important point, I know it was a very important point for me, and you will probably remember this. I didn't know one end of the gym from the other when I first walked into the gym. I really didn't. And you want to talk about somebody who had a lot of book knowledge on the subject. Been on every diet there was, a lot of book knowledge on the subject, but I really didn't know the proper way to squat. And that is a key place. Because I know that there are maybe some folks out there who are listening to this conversation thinking, well, a trainer's great, comma, if you can afford it. Trainer's great, coach is great, comma, if you have the money. But what I'm here to say is it's invaluable to put that level of commitment and pride and self-love behind what you're doing. Because when you start to train, you actually really do want somebody to show you how to do it properly and correctly so that you don't hurt yourself, end up getting injured, you spend 50 times more at the doctor's office, right? So, and just to repeat Mike's point, because I thought it was a brilliant one, look at the trainers in the gym. See who you're comfortable with. Eavesdrop on a few sessions. See who's changing up their routines with their clients, making things tailored to you. And as, you know, my own dad would say, you want somebody who's got common sense beside the book smarts. Practical knowledge, working knowledge, going to be able to guide you through plateaus, going to be able to pep talk you. Seriously, a rapport, don't diminish that, folks. Just don't, because it's really, really vital to your training. We're live tonight. This is Guiding Yourself Into Being with Life Coach Jennifer Belber and my guest personal trainer, certified personal trainer, Michael Hurley. Our phone number to call in and join us is 646-716-9397. And I do invite all of you out there in the listening audience to call in with your questions about weight training, weight loss, and physical fitness. So let's talk a little bit, Mike. How important is diet in this equation?
Well, you know, diet is very key. And when I do start any exercise program with somebody, this is one thing that could be a big pitfall for a lot of people, is don't think you have to go and start everything at one time. First start exercise program. That's your first initial stage. Don't worry about the diet. Don't change that diet until you got your routine of working out set. So that might be your first 30 days in the gym, the first month, is getting your routine exercising. Then the next thing you do is you got to home in on your nutritional intake. Do you go get a nutritionist? Not necessarily have to. It's really not that complicated. Unless you're going to get blood work done and you really want to find out how your hormone levels are and all that stuff, then you have to go to a doctor, a certified nutritionist that's going to run those tests for you, right? But mostly, you got to eat clean. What's eating clean? Man, you go Google. That thing is a powerful tool, right? It's so easy. It makes it so simple. Just Google clean eating. It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, people are like, they put all these barriers up to do it. Just go and eat clean. What is clean eating? Well, not a ton of salt or any extra sauces or things on your food. It's got to be pretty natural, you know, where you're taking from raw vegetables, things like that. Again, you want to enjoy what you're eating as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's really like, you know, for example, say you want to have grilled chicken. I said, I've had people say, hey, you know, I've got a piece of grilled chicken. It was great. You know, then I had to put some sauce over, some cheese over it. It was even better. Oh, so you had a chicken parmesan. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. That's not eating clean. The chicken with a little bit of tomato sauce would be fine. But with all that cheese over it, now you just made a chicken parm, you know. So it's really simple. I like to just tell everybody, like, you have your nutritional intake, you write everything you do down, and then you take a look at it at a glance. Say, look, you know what, let me plug this into the computer and what the computer says, or what Google says. And it's pretty easily accessible that you'll find out if you're doing the right things or the wrong thing. And not, just to go back, when we talk about looking for a trainer, if anybody's in a club and they're looking at certain trainers, one thing you can always look for, are they writing what they do down. Are they recording each and every one of their clients? If you see a trainer not writing, you know, notes down for every single session, he's garbage. Because there's no way he can possibly remember what he's done from one client to another. There's no way he can remember every single weight the person used if they're not recording what they do. And that goes for your diet, too. You got to write every down. There's no way you can remember from one day to the other exactly every element you, or morsel you put in your mouth. So you got to write things down. So those are some key issues that you got to address. Is, you know, you got to be accountable for what you're doing. You got to write stuff down.
That is so true. And I am going to say, those are two things that absolutely did help me. And I know you always have your notepad and your clipboard and your pencil ready to go. And then, folks, just to be clear, I would leave the gym with a photocopy of everything that had been done in that session. And the expectation, and this is where I think accountability is so huge and important, the expectation on Mike's part was always that I would do that routine twice more. I was on a 3-day a week full body workout sort of schedule. It's what was working for me. And the expectation, and you told me this day one, and I did not believe you, and I paid for it the second week. Folks, he said to me, I am going to plan your next session as though you've done this twice more. He said to me, I will know if you've done it. I will know if you didn't do it. But we progress every week. Make sure you can keep up. Do you remember saying that to me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like when you say that. I say that to everybody. I mean, it's really true. I will make sure that I want to be able to teach every one of my, you know, clients or people that I train. I want to be able to teach them what to do. So when they do go in a gym, they feel comfortable going to any gym and mastering the exercises quite well. And I would make sure that, hey, we're going to do a different routine next week, so you better get these exercises in because the next one's going to be a little more challenging based upon what you've done. So
yes.
Some people listen, and some people have to learn by, you know, mistakes, which, you know, that happens too. You got to learn by your mistakes as well.
And you know what? It's when we say there is no mistake, it's just a signpost that you take the wrong turn, and it gives you the opportunity to get back on the right road. That is absolutely what it was for me because I was loath to miss my workouts between sessions anymore because I can actually remember, and this is something I wanted to talk about because I know it's a stumbling block for a lot of people. That first workout, I was so sore the next day. I can remember I was hobbling and it was like my legs couldn't bend. Over time, you get to really love that feeling. I can't explain it except to say it becomes the best feeling in the world. It becomes what you chase when you're 5-6 weeks in, 4-5 months in, because then you say to yourself, yeah, I know I worked it. And when you stumble getting out of bed the next morning, you think to yourself, yeah, that's the stuff. But that first time, I can remember trying to climb the stairs on a New Jersey Transit train, and it's like I couldn't bend my leg. And I was in tears, folks. No joke. So what advice, Mike, do you have for folks who are starting out and they experience for maybe the first time ever that really intense muscle soreness, muscle fatigue? What's a good way to combat that?
Yeah, that happens quite often to everybody. I mean, that happens to me today. You know, I'll go and train tonight, and tomorrow and the next day, I'll be pretty sore. So what do I do to combat that soreness is doing another form of activity the next day to help loosen up all that lactic acid buildup and help those muscles move. The more you move, the better you're going to feel. Yeah, when you first get up and out of bed, you're so sore, you can't move. However, if you start moving and you're moving those same movements that you just did the day before, and that's not using weights, just going through movements, your legs will loosen up a little bit. Will they still be sore? Yes, a little bit, but a lot less because you've got to keep it moving. Unfortunately, people will not do that. They'll be like, oh, I was too sore to even walk upstairs. No, because if that building was on fire, you would run down those stairs no matter how bad your legs hurt. So, you know, like, just move. Stop making an excuse why you're not driving up the wall, because this excuses aren't, you know, it just doesn't cut. There's no such thing. You just got to keep moving, and you won't be as sore.
Can I share what you make folks in the gym who say they can't do?
I make my 6-year-old daughter and my 17-year-old daughter. So, yeah, I have no problem. I'll make my grandmother do them, too. You can definitely do that.
So what we're talking about here, folks, is a little inside joke. One day, I so sore, and I looked at Michael, and I said, I can't do it anymore. And he said, give me 10. I was like, what? And now it's 20. What? You want to go for 30? And I'm looking at this man, thinking to myself, what in the name of all that is holy is he talking about? Well, when you say, I can't, you have to do penalty push-ups. And I'm going to tell you, oh, it's 25 now. And on your toes, there's no such thing as on your knees, on your toes, and there you go, you're done. And I will say this, though. One of the last workouts I had before finding out I was pregnant, and then I had to kind of cut back because I was high-risk pregnancy, I was actually doing incline push-ups.
Yeah.
So my feet were up on a bench, and my feet were in the air. So, and that's progression for you, because I couldn't get the first 5 of my penalty push-ups off the ground. And I remember you saying to me, I will make my next client start her session late if I have to do the push-ups.
Yeah. Well, I won't let you leave. I really don't care where you have to go. You're just not going to leave until you do them. Quite simple. So you can stay there and cry, or you can just get them over and leave.
And I have cried more than once, and he will not let you leave. Folks, we're at the halfway point in our show tonight. We hope you're enjoying. This is Guiding Yourself into Being, and I'm Jennifer Belber, life coach. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-9397. I just want to take a moment and let you folks know that we are live, so please feel free to call in. We are on Blog Talk Radio, the Life Coach Radio Network tonight. Just a note for everybody out there, if you're enjoying our show, the next show on the station is Sunday night at 9 o'clock. It's Mark My Words with certified life and business coach Mark Shaw. Mark was actually my instructor at IPEC. Fabulous guy, a sensational coach, so tune in Sunday night at 9. And I want to thank our sponsor, Audible.com. Audible Books, excuse me. You can go to Audible.com. And /Life Coach Radio and sign up for a free 30-day trial. Audible is audiobooks, wide range of topics, thousands of titles to choose from. And you can listen on the go, your iPad, your iPhone, in the car, whatever works for you. It's a great way to maximize your time and catch up on your reading. I, as a reminder, I'm talking with Mike Hurley. He's a certified personal trainer. He is reachable on his website, which is hurleytough.com, HURLEYTOUGH.com. My name is Jennifer Belber, and you can reach me on my website, which is jenniferbelber.com, or email jennifer@jenniferbelber.com. Very easy, just my name. So Mike Hurley and I are talking about weightlifting, weight training, how it helps folks lose weight. Certainly is what helped me drop a substantial amount of weight in my life, and for the first time in my life, keep it off. And as full disclosure, there's something I want to add here that I realize I haven't shared with my listening audience. As you all know, I did have bariatric surgery. I had lap band surgery in February of 2010. But I also have what is known as Hashimoto's thyroiditis. It is a very fancy name for an underactive thyroid. It's a very fancy name for an autoimmune disease. Now, Mike, when we're talking about different things work for different people, I know this is one of the parts of my story that you and I addressed very early on. There are a lot of folks who have autoimmune diseases that make it very difficult to lose weight. There's polycystic ovarian syndrome, different sorts of thyroid disorders, all sorts of different things. How valuable is weight training for somebody who has a chronically slow metabolism?
Well, when you do cardio activity, which most people will do, you know, there's a couple formulas you have to figure out as well, which obviously everyone is different. So one thing is you got to know what your target heart rate should be and where you should be training and how you should be training. So you're actually, when you're doing cardio, you're training in your range. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Like you can do a piece of cardio equipment and you can be on there for 20, 30 minutes and you haven't even, or you may have just begun to hit your fat burning portion of the workout. So that could be a huge issue with anybody with any disease or any, you know, thyroid problems that, hey, you know what? You haven't even gotten to that threshold where you actually burn the body fat, you know, for energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, with cardio is after you finish doing cardio, whether it's a run or a bike, usually like 45 minutes to an hour later, your metabolism kind of drops back down to normal or where it was when you first started. It might, you know, stay elevated a little bit, but not much. However, when you train strength training with weights, resistance training, your metabolism, if you train intensely enough, could stay up, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours after that training session. And that's what's going to keep, you know, your metabolism increasing is how often you can get those workouts in and train, you know, intensely during those sessions at your intense level. You know, everybody's intense level is different, and that's why you got to progress to your level. But for anyone, whether you have thyroid issues or not, strength training is the way to go. I mean, it's and you have to do it like interval training where you're bringing your heart rate up pretty high and then let it drop back down low to recover. And that is what I've seen in actually over 25 years of training, which works best.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I will say before I started training with you, I really had no conception of that idea of intensity. It's not the amount of time. It's the amount of effort you put in. So for folks out there who are listening and thinking, well, this is great if you've got a couple hours a day. And I don't. I only have a half hour. I'm going to tell you, I've never done a workout with Mike that took longer than an hour. And many of them, 45 minutes. An intense 45 minutes, a compact 45 minutes, 45 minutes, and I would be dripping with sweat in ways I never had before in all my life. I used to actually bring clothes to the gym to change because I was just sweating through t-shirts. It was disgusting, but it was wonderful. You know, it becomes wonderful. So please, folks, don't be turned off by this conversation and thinking, I don't have the time, because even 15 or 20 or half hour of, you know, intense work, intense for you, is going to make a difference. And, you know, one of the things I am going to share, because it still to this very day amazes me, I never worked out with a heart rate monitor until I started working with you. And I can remember in the early stages, my heart rate was sky high. I mean, like a scared rabbit. And I'd hit 160 or 155. And you'd say to me, okay, you know, take a break. We got to let it come down. This is the first time I ever gave any amount of thought to how intensely my heart was working, the systems in my body. A year later, we could do the same warm-up that would have skyrocketed me. It barely registered. So it was always very interesting to me how, even though we weren't doing a lot of cardio, although I was always a person who liked, you know, a nice walk outside, go for a run, something like that, and Mike would say, good, do it, move. On the days you don't lift, move, but lift when you're going to lift. My cardio endurance was huge, huge. Can you explain how that happened?
How your cardio endurance increases from the strength training?
Yes.
Well, you know, when you're training your heart, again, when I'm training somebody, I'm bringing them over their 85% of their maximum heart rate, and then we'll let them drop back down to recover. So I'm really conditioning their heart in a different way, which is strengthening it rather than putting stresses on it. It's more strengthening the heart as well. So, you know, for the person who just all of a sudden, okay, let me just do a cardio day, it becomes easy because they just got to kind of flatline when you're doing your cardio day. You just want to stay in a certain zone. You don't want to go way too high. You want to stay at a certain level. So, you know, that cardio or your threshold becomes a lot easier to withstand. So that's why sometimes they say, well, I'm going to do cardio today. I said, oh, it's great. You got your active rest day today. Because once you get to a certain level of fitness, you'll be amazed that your cardio is just like an active rest day. You're not really working out as hard as you usually do when you're strength training. Again, not to turn anybody off of our conversation because it sounds like, oh, my God, we're training so hard. Remember, everybody starts off at a very low intensity level, and progression will bring you up to your maximum efforts. I don't start anybody up at that maximum level. Everybody that, you know, I work with, or if you're going to work with someone, you should do a fitness assessment. Your baseline measurements, where you are right now at your fitness level, regardless of how you feel, get your baseline measurements and then progress from there. That's the key element is, again, marking and charting your progression. That's how you're going to see your results. That's how you're going to really start getting more energy into your system. And your metabolism will be boosted because you'll be doing it more often. Because you have, you know, a lot of times people, they think they have to compete with other people in the gym. And you shouldn't be competing with anybody. You should just be excelling within yourself. Just worry about you, and everything will take care of itself.
That is such brilliant advice right there. But I'm going to ask you to repeat it.
Well, I tell people, you know, a lot of times people come into a gym and they think they have to compete with the person next to them, what they're doing on the treadmill, what they're doing in their lifting, anyone else. You're not even there to compete with yourself. You're there to excel within yourself. Big difference. You got to learn how to excel within yourself before you can move forward.
That is awesome, awesome, awesome advice. Excel within yourself. And I will also say, just for anybody out there who might be a little squeamish about going into a gym and picking up weights and going in to work with free weights and dumbbells, and I definitely was. And one of the reasons I actually decided to hire a trainer was that I was totally and completely intimidated by the big buff people who seem to be lifting weights. And I am going to say, please, folks, if that is making anybody out there hesitate, please, 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 please put those fears aside and just walk in, because the people I met in the gym to this day are some of the nicest people I have ever met. And I know there's a lot when folks are overweight, and I certainly had this myself. You're very self-conscious of your size. You're very self-conscious of how you look, how sweaty or fatigued you might be. I am going to say I have never felt in a gym environment that I didn't belong, never felt shunned, never felt shamed. Certainly other places in life, yeah, you know what, let's be 100% honest, absolutely true. But within the gym, especially within the confines of the weight room, there's nothing but total acceptance and kind of a real feeling of camaraderie. So please, for anybody out there listening, I just want to remind you, I started my weight training journey damn near my highest weight at 265 pounds. On a 5'2" frame, I was a fat girl. There's no other way to put it. So please, 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 please don't be turned off and think that you can't or think that you have to lose weight before you can start. Because it's simply, simply, simply not true.
That's the key element. Like, I hear a lot of people say, you know what, I'm just going to get in shape first, and then I'm going to start, you know, with a good program. Like, well, I don't understand what that means. Why wouldn't you want to do it right the first time? And I see people that want to start it on their own, and they get discouraged because they don't see the results that they're expecting. They do set high expectations. You can't set the high expectations. you have to do exactly what is in your fitness level. I mean, it's so simple, but it can be so challenging at the same time. Because if you don't understand, you know, that's what makes it, you know, sometimes difficult to people. If you don't understand how the science of it all works, well, again, that's why, you put, you know, effort and time and you pay for somebody to do that because, you know, that's, you don't want to spend too much time thinking about how this is all going to work. You just want to know that doing and you're going on that right path. It always drives me crazy when I hear people say, I want to get in shape before I start. Yeah, I just don't understand that. Like, all you're doing is setting yourself up for a negative result. You know, and unfortunately, that's going to deter you more than, you know, going, you know, into the gym. I'd rather, again, see somebody go into the gym, get on a treadmill, walk it out a little bit, look at the trainers around you, see which ones you want to maybe, you know, approach. You know, Jen, I think you approached me. You know, you came up to me and inquired about, you know, training with me. I think that's how you picked me out, so to say.
Yes, and that exactly is. And I was training with somebody else at the gym, and she really wasn't pushing me. And I remember watching you train a couple people. And then I was in the gym one day at lunchtime. I'm going to tell folks this story because this was absolutely my pivotal moment. When Mike works, he wears his uniform, which is usually black pants and a black T-shirt. And at that time, the club, all the fellas working at the club and the gals were wearing black T-shirts with the club logo. And I saw him in the gym one day. I was there at lunchtime. I was on the treadmill, and he was wearing kind of like basketball shorts and a white T-shirt. And I thought, is this guy not working? Well, you were working out. And I watched you push yourself to what I would have thought was absolutely inhuman length. I actually watched you do lunges with, I think I estimated they were probably 120-pound dumbbells in each hand. And I thought, if this guy does this, he's got to know what he's doing. And I interrupted your workout. I hopped right off that treadmill and I interrupted you. And I said, I'm training with so-and-so, and I want to train with you. And then I stalked him until he made room in his schedule for me.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that very well. And the reason why I do train like that, again, I'm a trainer, so this is my lifestyle. But it's something that was instilled with me from my mom and my dad. You know, my mom was big on, hey, lead by example. Don't expect anybody to do something that you're not doing. So make sure you go out and do it. Then you can, and people will follow. The people that want it will follow. The people that don't, you don't think about them. You just worry about the people that really want it. And that's what I kind of focus on, who really wanted it. You know, I will put, and I think we've had our banging heads sometimes, Jen. Like, I'll give you 110%.
Oh, we have.
And the minute I don't think you're giving me that 110% back, I will tell you our relationship is going not that much further. We are going to have to separate, and I'm not going to train you until you make that commitment. Because I'm not going to take your money, and I'm not there to take somebody's money just because. It's a training session. If you're not willing to get the results, then I'm not willing to train you. And that's the way the trainer should be. You know, it shouldn't be the dollar sign. It should be the results. Because if you're doing what you love and you love what you're doing, regardless what it is, your financial means will come. But I know that, I think that kind of changed you a little bit too, Jen, because I said, I can't do this anymore unless you're going to be serious. Because you were up and down a little bit.
You know what it did? So, I was up and down, yeah.
You went to a little lull, and I said, that's it. It was like tough love. Because I do get a personal relationship with all the people I work with. They become my friends. And I said, no, you need to make commitment. You need to tell me and show me, because I'm not going to waste my time. Because you are my advertisement. I have a little website that I don't even pay attention to it most of the time, because that's not what drives my business. You know, you drive your business by your reputation. And what I like to do is make sure everybody hits their goal. You know, I know we went off on a little bit of a tangent, but, you know, Jen,
it was a great tangent.
You worked extremely hard. You saw, you know, times where you felt you were defeated and you had to come back up and like, you know, I want to prove myself. You put a lot of time and effort into it. It didn't come easy. And that's something that you gotta understand. Nothing good comes easy. Nobody in this world is going to hand you a great opportunity. Nobody in the world is going to say everything's going to be good. Don't worry, you'll get there. No, people in this world are going to knock the daylights out of you. That's what they do. However, how do you overcome that is keep on moving and being positive, because that's what you did. You didn't give up.
I got to say, I wish this was a Skype call right now. I have the biggest smile on my face, and I hope that folks can hear how fired up you're getting. And I am going to say, folks, hand to the heavens. He was this fired up. We had a little conversation. I was training about 6 months, 8 months, and I was not playing full out. And you did totally call me on it. And I remember saying to you, but I'm paying you. I'm your client. I'm the customer. And you said, no, you're not, because I can stop training you at any time. You said, take this week and you decide. And if you come back, you either come back full out or don't bother, because you're wasting both our time. And you cut that session short. It was supposed to be an hour session. You walked away from me at like the half hour mark and refused to accept payment for that session. I think you did it just to drive the point home to me that it was not, oh, I'm the customer and the customer is always right. And that absolutely turned me around. And I am going to tell you, when I coach folks now, I do tell them, you've got to be willing to put in the time and the effort, or you're just wasting your time and mine, and I don't want to do that. Because you certainly did teach me by example. You taught me what it means to put the effort in. Only way you get results. Absolutely the only way you get results. And it is amazing the mental shift that I had. So it wasn't really about, I do think at that point in time I was lifting a little heavy. You know, I was making a progression just to drive this point home for our listening audience. I was lifting more. I was more fit. I'd lost a little bit of weight, but not some. I toned up a little bit. You know, my measurements were going down, but it wasn't on the right trajectory. And I really was making excuses. I was constantly on my thyroid. I had to travel for work. I was traveling a lot for work at different stretches when Mike and I were training. And that little moment that really made me reevaluate, everything changed from there. And I will tell you, from then on, when I was on the road and I was a marketing manager in a corporate life for a publishing company, I used to be on the road quite a lot. I would always, in my hotel room, get up early and do some kind of exercise before putting in a 10-hour day standing in a trade show booth, because it just changed my mindset, and that absolutely changed everything about my life. Absolutely, hands down.
Well, I know this other thing that I don't remember this conversation that we had that I think was definitely another changing point for you as well. I was telling you the story, I don't know if you remember it. You know, when my oldest daughter was maybe like 5 years old, even younger, maybe 4 years old, I went to the park with her in a playground, and I'm playing on the monkey bars, I'm going down the slide with her, and I'm running around the park, great time. I'm really not paying attention too much, just really engaged in her and running and rolling around and playing, and I just saw this little boy, and he's kind of like wanted to play with us a little bit. So I'm like, you know what? What the heck, you know? So I'm playing with him, I'm rolling around, and I'm like, where's, you know, I was looking around, like, where's his parents? And, you know, he runs over to a bench, and there's a heavy-set gentleman sitting on the bench, and it was obviously his dad. And he said, Dad, come on, come play with us. And his dad really couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt really sad. And again, this is, you know, I am a personal trainer, so, you know, when I saw it, I felt like I felt sad, because this gentleman was depriving some really key quality time with his child. Instead, he sat there, you know, reading a paper, because that's all he could do. That's all he allowed his body to do. If you're not going to do it for yourself, I have to do something better. Do it for somebody else, then. And some people say, oh, you have to do it, you know, you have to be yourself first. Well, sometimes you have to do something bigger than yourself. You know, for me, my kids are all, I mean, everything to me. So, you know, I think I said to you, I said, you want to be able to run, and you want to be able to play with your daughter, you want to be able to do all these fun things with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forgot another story you shared with me, is that the day you were able to go, I think it was your nephew, you were able to go to the amusement park with him, and you were able to sit in the ride, because you were now able to sit in the ride. And you were able to spend that quality time.
Yeah, it was the log flume, and the train at Seaside Heights on the Boardwalk. And he had never been on those rides before, and he was scared. And I said to him, oh, come on, I'll go on with you. And I just remember the most amazing thing, folks, was that I had no hesitation. I just jumped right on that ride, which seems very little and inconsequential until you realize that I was already down by 100 pounds. So at my heaviest, I never would have fit in that ride. Never. Never. It was huge. Yeah, that was actually a life-changing moment for me. And I think these days about, because nowadays, you're going to laugh. In order for me to work out, I have to get up at 5:15 in the morning. Because I get up, I get my workout in before my husband is getting up to shower and go to work. Because it's a reliable time. And then he's here in case the baby needs him. I am not a morning person. But there have been a lot of times where I did remember that day. And I know I want to give my daughter those things. I want to be able to be the mom. We were just at Sesame Place for her birthday. I want to be able to be the mom who can go on any ride she wants to go on. Except for the water slide, because that scares me. Her dad has to do that. But any ride she wants to go on, because you're right, it's really important. And there are days when I get out of bed for her, not me. There are plenty of days when I'm like, yeah, I'm 42. I'm okay with the size of my hips. I had a kid. It's all good. I love myself. And I do love myself just as I am. But there are days when I get out of bed because I have a 2-year-old. I want to be able to run through the park with her. And it's that simple. And that is like a really uplifting place, actually, to wrap it up tonight, because we only have 2 minutes left. Folks, you've been listening to Guiding Yourself into Being with Life Coach Jennifer Belber. That's me. You can reach me through the Life Coach Radio Network website or through my website, which is jenniferbelber.com. And my guest tonight has been certified personal trainer and my dear friend, Michael Hurley. Mike can be reached at his website, which is her.com. And Mike, I want to thank you and just ask, do you have any parting wisdom for our listening audience tonight?
You know, the only thing I would really want is I hope that, you know, the listeners got a little bit out of it. They became a little motivated, and they do owe it to themselves to give it a shot, to just go out there and create a better lifestyle for themselves, because, you know, this is the only real fountain of youth. We are getting older, right? You said you're 42 now, 45. And, you know, if you don't start moving now, you want to enjoy your golden ages, not, you know, being immobile and not being able to. So you owe it to yourself.
Yes.
Go in and enjoy yourself.
That is a great point, is that as we do age, the fitter we are, the easier we are going to recover from things. I know I certainly have had my share of physical challenges, and having been in shape definitely made it much easier to recover. And that's a great. So please, folks, check out Mike's website. Again, it's curlytough.com. Check out my website. I'm Jennifer Belber. And everyone have a great night. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. And Mike, if you'd like, why don't you think about coming back on the show and we can get a little bit more into clean eating and the nutritional aspects of what to do in your weight training.
Sounds great. I would love to come back on.
We would love to have you. Have a great night, and thank you so much for your time. Cheers, everybody.
Take care.